Please be seated. Do you prefer to be safe over being faithful to your calling? Do I prefer to be safe than to be faithful to my calling? That is essentially the questions raised by the gospel story we just heard. I think in the ideal world, we would like to answer that. What about both? Can I be safe while being faithful to my calling? And I would say, for 80% of the times of our discipleship with Christ, with our following of Jesus, that happens to be a place like this, especially for us living in the so-called developed world, this part of the world where safety, actually to a point that many of us may have taken for granted a little bit more than people living in other parts of the world, or people who are not like the majority of the people in the countries where they lived in. That is a totally different experience. But this story, when we put it into context of the story we heard last Sunday, which was the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, this week's story pushes Jesus' trust in his God-given missions from a rhetorical level to a real-life choice. Remember, last week, Jesus was having these conversations with the devil, where the devil are just some voices. Likely, devil is not a figure or a person. And he was challenged, being brought to the top of the temple. He was challenged, if you are God's sons, throw yourself down, because God did say that he will send angels to rescue you. But Jesus resisted that temptation. But this is a different matter now. When some Pharisees approaches Jesus to say that Herod wants to harm you, you better disappear quietly. And the brilliant part of the story, I find, is that you don't hear Jesus name-call people very often. But he did in this occasion. Here he called the rather unpopular Herod Antipas, the puppet ruler of the Galilean region, a fox. Foxes are considered to be destructive pests in the Hebrew scriptures. In the Songs of Songs and in a few other places, foxes are being treated are these wild animals that destroy the vineyard of God. So that they are destructive pests. The Greek, because remember during Jesus' time, the whole area of Galilee and also the whole, basically, the land of Israel was colonized by Romans for many years, right? It's very Hellenistic, right? The Greek associate foxes with being clever and cunning. This story actually happens after the death of John the Baptist, whom Herod killed because of a silly, drunken vow made to Salome, his daughter with Herodias, his brother's wife. Because Jesus reminded Herod so much about John, whom he did secretly admire and hate at the same time. Herod Antipas was a very complex person. In the story, the way how Luke tell the story, he definitely have a hard space for the truth, but he really wrestled. And when push come to shove, he choose the weight of scapegoating and violence and murdered John the Baptist. But because Jesus reminded Herod of John, Jesus' rising popularity must have been seen as a threat to an insecure ruler. Jesus ended up didn't choose safety or rationality, but chose to fulfill his mission. And what was Jesus' mission? What was Jesus' mission? Any popcorn style answer?
To heal the sick.
To heal the sick, yes. He was quite clear what his priority today and tomorrow, to heal the sick, to continue to drive out the demons. Those are obstructive forces in that world that keep people from being fully belonged to the community. To show us how to live the right way. Thank you, Linda. Yes, that is part of Jesus' missions, right? But to be a little bit more specific, right? Jesus' mission is to proclaim the God of peace. Peace at that time was not quite commonly understood as peace with justice and peace for all, not peace for some. At that time, the kind of peace the word is being used is the Roman peace, Pax Romana. It is some kind of peace that is maintained through military prowess, substitutional atoning peace through the identification of a scapegoat. Like in our culture, in our current days, very often when things go wrong, what is our reactions? Who is to blame? Let's find out who's to blame and let that person receive consequence, and then the community restore peace. Either the person lose the job, or very sadly, in recent year, people get canceled over one thing that they did in the past, but their entire presence and contributions get canceled overnight. That is the kind of mechanism playing behind that feels the kind of peace portrayed by the Caesar of the day, the empires. Finding a scapegoat, killing the victims to restore social harmony. But Jesus is proclaiming a peace sustained by an absolute refusal to turn to violence, to scapegoat or blame others, a peace that dares to forgive and trust in the undying love of God of peace. And Jesus used this powerful feminine image of God as a mother hen gathering her broods. This land and every land is a springtime for our soul to renew and to grow. We are yet again being asked to decide if we are to play safe and stay in our cozy comfort zone of our existence, or if we are to follow Christ, to be faithful, to fulfill the mission he is inviting us into. Like a mother hen, Christ gathered us under her wings, the deserved and the undeserved, because this is simply how God loves without distinction. As we follow him all the way to Jerusalem again this season, we shall once again witness how this kind of radical love is scandalous to the world, to those who are in power, especially those who wield political or religious power. Father Gregory Boyle, a Jesuit priest who worked with ex-gangster in LA, in his book, Barking to the Choir, refers to this kind of radical love of Jesus as a call to a radical kinship. Father Gregory said, open quotes, "How do we tame this status quo that lures us into blindly accepting the things that divide us and keep us from our own holy longing for the mutuality of kinship, a sure and certain sense that we belong to each other? In our human occupation, no hazard to settle for little, we settle for purity and piety when we are being invited to an exquisite holiness. We settle for the fear-driven when love longs to be our engine. We settle for a punny, vindictive God when we are being nudged always closer to this wild, inclusive, larger than any life God. We allow our sense of God to atrophy. We settle for the illusion of separation when we are endlessly asked to enter into kinship with all." Lots of heavy duty buttons that he is invited us to be pushed. This lens, we shall once again witness how the whole world turned its back against Jesus the Christ because of the way how he loves. And we shall watch how our mother hen got struck and her chicks scattered. And on the third day, the love he bore witness to will be vindicated. But make no mistake, Jesus' mission is not to offer up his life to satisfy the wrath of an angry God who demanded blood to get even with humankind, like how some of us was raised with the notion of substitutional atonement. Such a God is purely a figment of our imaginations, fueled by our need to find someone to blame, a scapegoat. Jesus' mission is not to die. Instead, his mission is resurrection. This inevitably includes death, but death comes because the people cannot accept him, not because it was his mission to die. But we shall save the unpacking of that for another day. Today, people of St. Dunstan are invited to continue your journey with Christ to Jerusalem, the city of Salam, which is the word for peace in both Hebrew and Arabic, the city of peace. The journey is dangerous and will take you outside your comfort zone. The promise will light on the third day, the day of the resurrection. Stay tuned. Thank you. I invite you to stand in body or in spirit. As we confess our faith, as we say, we believe in one God,
as we continue from yesterday's World Day of Prayer, let us offer the prayers of the people. Please feel free to sit, stand, or kneel, as is your preference. To the bidding God of love, the response will be, hear our prayer. God of the covenant, you call us to be fruitful servants within creation and to offer our lives as the foundation of your realm. We lay before you the desires of our hearts, that we may be transformed by their fulfillment. We pray for the well-being of Archbishop John, Christopher, and Anne. In our weekly cycle of prayer, we pray for the parishes of St. Christopher West Vancouver, the Diocese of British Columbia, and the administrators of the Anglican Initiatives Fund. We pray for our companion diocese, the Episcopal Diocese of the Northern Philippines, in the parishes of St. Dunstan and St. Jerome. We pray, Lord, for your universal church. Open the eyes and hearts of those who need to hear your message of grace. Help us to see the needs of those around us and reflect your kindness and compassion as a response to your love. God of love, hear our prayer. God of compassion and grace, we pray for the welfare of your world and those who are suffering in these uncertain times. As Archbishop John exhorted us, in the lonely and forgotten ones, in the refugees and the fearful, in the hungering and the thirsting, may we recognize your face and your hope. May we be instruments of your peace, for you call us to be a people of the gospel of action and courage. God of love, hear our prayer.